Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in and listening. I realize it's coming up on Christmas Eve here, tomorrow night. And I know a lot of people are busy, and so they'll catch this show much later. But I wanted to thank everybody that is tuning in and listening and wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And we got Larry on board. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
Oh, doing okay. And by the way, Merry Christmas, Stuart. And Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, same to you. Yeah, it's getting a little dicey out there. So as to how many peaceful Christmases we'll have after this, strictly up to the Lord. I wanted to start, and I talked to Larry about this because he was a police officer for many, many, many years and obviously carried a weapon for not only defense purposes, but tracking down the bad guys. But there was an article that was put out, and I want to read it to you because this is very, very pertinent, and how the people in the judicial system are totally misinforming the public as to what the Second Amendment is really all about. You may remember that in New Jersey, they passed a law that you could only have a ammunition clip that would fit into a rifle that was it could hold only 10 bullets. And, of course, they said everybody had to turn them in if they were over that. Well, absolutely nobody, from the latest information I could gather, has turned anything in. Probably won't, which I think is a positive and very hopeful sign. It says over 1 million gun owners have refused to obey ban in New Jersey, no one giving up cartridge magazines. Now, what's interesting about this one, the only reason I'm bringing it up, it says New Jersey's law, now this is a court opinion from a judge, New Jersey's law reasonably fits the state's interest in public safety and does not unconstitutionally burden the Second Amendment's right to self-defense in the home, the court wrote in their decision. Well, that's ridiculous. The Second Amendment is not about self-defense in your home at all. Here's what it says. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, this is very, very interesting because it's for the security of a free state. In other words, the Second Amendment gives the people of the United States the right to rise up in arms to get rid of a tyrannical, out-of-control government. And also, I suppose one could say, because of the UN threat to come in here and take over, to take up arms against the United Nations, which is purely a communist operation. And, of course, every one of our people in government are take an oath to uphold the Constitution and to against foreign enemies and also domestic enemies. So when a judge says this is just for self-defense in the home, he's either an absolutely stupid idiot who doesn't know anything about the Constitution, or it's willful and it's deliberate. That's what I'm trying to get at, because a lot of this is, these people aren't stupid, so it's deliberate. And what they're going after in this is the all the rights of people to bear arms at all. They want to take all your rights away. And it's about State Department document 7277, and its fulfillment, and which is a document that, where the UN comes in and takes over the U.S. military, which, by the way, is pretty well underway. A lot of people don't realize that a lot of the fighting we do is not under the United States military, per se. It's under the United Nations flag that a lot of our troops are operating. The Korean War was a good example. That was actually a UN operation. A lot of people are not aware of that, but it was. And anyway, well, the 7277 wants to disarm all the people in the entire world, not just the United States, except for UN peacekeeping forces. And you may remember that Nikki Haley signed on to the UN gun control at the United Nations. She obviously did it with the Trump's blessing. And you may remember Trump's ban on bumper stocks. Another infringement, actually, of the Second Amendment. Infringed is a very, it says the right of the people to keep and bear arms should not be infringed. Now, the word infringed in simple English is nibbled away at, a little here, a little there, and the people have not only the right to keep arms under that amendment, they also have the right to bear those arms, which means to carry. And yet, in almost all states, you have to get a license to carry. This is where they have infringed. Another area they have infringed. If you have, if you're supposed to maintain a free state, you should have the same arms that the military has. This shows you how much the government mistrusts people and wants to gain control over the people by doing this. Now, Larry, as I said, is with us, and he was a police officer for years. And things have changed radically in the police departments as far as them wanting to have civilians either open carry or have firearms. Larry, what's your take on all this? I mean, when a judge says something like this, it really gets me angry because they know better.
Well, of course they know better, Stuart. You know, when you know, you talk about the Constitution, that was really to allow the American citizens to be armed at home and to be able to carry those arms and to actually bring their arms to a battle if they battled against a state or a federal government that was tyrannical. That's what it was about. And, you know, the judges, they all play this down. They all play a game. You know, it's almost like, Stuart, if somebody becomes a lawyer, their mind goes blank. I don't know.
I love it. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it's so sad. And you know, that's what's interesting. You know, they want to cut down on the clips, the size of the clips. But everything they're doing hadn't got anything to do with stopping these shootings. You know, a lot of these shooters, you know, that's what I've always said about people. If they're a criminal, do you really think they're going to obey the law? You got to be kidding, you know? You know, I was in law enforcement for 35, 40 years almost, and I saw a lot of people, and let me assure you, the criminals never worried about the law, never. They evaded it continually, and they had their ways around it, and that's just life. And, you know, it's like up here, I can't imagine up here in Oklahoma, you know, every car you pass on the road, you assume has a gun because everybody up in this part of the country carries a gun generally. And, well, that's the way it is. And they're not probably going to turn them in either. You know, I laugh when they say, Stuart, you know, you don't want any of the citizens around you armed. And I'm thinking, why not? Because there's been a number of times that I have actually had to call on citizens that were around me to assist me in making an arrest or stopping someone that was, you know, doing an aggravated assault of some kind. You know, and, you know, we used the citizens around us, and part of the law in Texas especially was that you could call for assistance. And why would you want to call for assistance on a whole bunch of unarmed people if you got a guy cornered with a gun?
Yeah. Amazing. But things have changed, as you found out. And I think probably still the vast majority of sheriff deputies and police officers probably are in favor of citizens owning guns. In fact, if you look at the statistics of civilian carry, a lot of times these people take down people in malls and whatnot that are acting up. So, yeah, it just infuriates me when a judge comes out with this kind of baloney, attempting to take the people who are not overly intelligent when it comes to our Second Amendment rights to call it just self-defense in the home when it really doesn't have anything to do with that. Obviously, it's included, but the main reason is to, as you said, put down a tyrannical state. So anyway, I wanted to bring that up to people that you got this judge doing this sort of thing, and it's really getting kind of dicey. The other thing I wanted to bring up before we get into the main program, Chris Wallace, I was watching his program. I can't remember what he calls it. But anyway, tonight on Fox News, he interviewed Leon Panetta, who was a former CIA director, and I think he was Secretary of Defense for a while, too. But what he was talking about essentially was that Trump's unstable and that there's chaos in the White House. And we had no right to bring in, to take our troops out of Syria and Afghanistan, even though they've been there for years and nothing, absolutely nothing has been accomplished. And but what I'm getting at is when you hear something like this from a high-powered guy, obviously deep state, calling Trump unstable, I'm beginning to think that maybe this is going to be the revival when the Democrats come into power of an Article 25 to get rid of Trump. What's your take on that, Larry? I mean, he was really coming after Trump.
Well, that seems to be the plan, Stuart, since they've been doing this search for a crime on Trump ever since he actually began to run for office. When they began mm-hmm. spying on him, even then, and then, you know, of course, once he became the president, they opened up the Mueller probe. You know, there's a classic called "It's Mueller Time." Well, that's about right, you know, because they're drunk on hypocrisy. Basically, there's no crime, and they're just searching for the crime, and this is the problem, Stuart, and you know, all of us. And I like to listen to Alan Dershowitz a lot because he's really good on this kind of stuff, you know. The Constitution mm-hmm. doesn't make available or a remedy against the president by putting in a special prosecutor. That's not even lawful under the Constitution. And here we are today, and the American people just keep sleeping.
I know. You know, they're sitting back twiddling their thumbs, and they're going to continue this all the way into FEMA camps, where they can sit and twiddle their thumbs and wonder why they're there when they had a chance to do something about it. So it all depends on whether the Lord's going to keep Trump in office, number one. Number two, whether Trump is part of it or not part of it, and whether he's powerless. But there are articles coming out both ways. And this Mattis was forced out early, which is kind of interesting. I think Trump got a little bit mad when Mattis came after him. Said, okay, well, then you're out, O-U-T. And so everybody's upset of that, but Mattis is deep state. In fact, a good share of the people that Trump has actually are deep state. Now, he may not have known that. There was Hal Turner wrote a kind of an interesting opinion piece on whether Trump realized that the people he was putting into power or were recommended to him didn't realize they were all deep state, and now he's beginning to figure it out. What's your take on Mattis being left go? I think it does go into this globalism stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing in the background is that Mattis was pretty much a globalist, and you know, that was the interesting thing was the fact that as we've watched it, you know, when Trump began to try to work certain areas like North Korea, you know, Iran, the Russia, China, that Mattis was continually undermining him and trying to correct his vision as far as the future militarily, and actually move it into the global plan rather than the U.S. national plan. And so that's why, Stuart, I'm clearly already convinced that we are already in a civil war between nationalists and the globalists.
Oh, absolutely. And a civil war between Trump type of globalism versus the communist type of globalism. And it's going to be very, very interesting to see. Personally, I side with Trump. Let's say he's totally honest. This is what he wants to do. This is what we should do. He wants all the nations to retain all their sovereignty, and they make trade deals, and everybody benefits, and it's a win-win, whereas the communists want a total dictatorship where it's run under the United Nations and no sovereignty of any nations. And, of course, their new compact, immigration compact, proves what the United Nations is up to. And yet, I don't think the American people probably know anything about it as to what's going on. Moving over, declaration of war on Russia, bill introduced in the Ukraine Parliament. What in the world is going on there? Are they that stupid?
Well, I think, Stuart, that it appears, if some of the information is true, that the globalists, if you will, are moving their agenda through Poroshenko against Russia, and what it appears to be is really a setup to force the Ukraine to start a war with Russia to allow NATO possibly to move in and have a real problem. So I don't know. A lot of that's hard to vet, Stuart, but it seems like there are other sources like Israeli News Live and others, especially some of the papers in the UK that have some of the same information and data. But it appears, and I know that Ukraine cannot conquer Russia. But however, they could have an exchange, a nuclear exchange of some type. So, it's interesting where this is going.
Yeah, very. Here's what it says in the article. A member of Ukraine's Rada, which is their parliament, has introduced the paperwork for a declaration of war on Russia, the cessation of diplomatic relations, and severing of transport ties. The member of parliament, I'm not going to try and pronounce the name, introduced a resolution on December 21st. Interesting, 777. I don't know what type of suicidal maniac, Harold Hal Turner says, one must be in order to introduce something like this into Ukraine legislature, but clearly someone over there is out of his mind. It seems to me that no one would even think of doing such a thing unless they're being given reassurances. And I think this is the key, and I think that's just what you said, that NATO and the U.S. have Ukraine's back. So it says in response to this action, evidently taken by their parliament, more than a dozen SU-27, SU-30 fighter jets, which Russia is now deploying to boost its air force amid heightened tensions with Ukraine, arrived in Crimea today. Then he adds this little caveat for all you listeners. I earnestly hope you have preps of emergency food, water, medicine, fuel for generators, and heat. Because if you see above is actually enacted, World War III will be upon us. And here's what he's really getting at. It could involve a sudden nuclear strike upon the United States. It could involve an EMP. It could involve a North Korean strike. Remember the Armageddon script, war everywhere. And Larry had a friend who had a vision, I guess. Larry can enlighten us on it again. But that was about war everywhere, wasn't it?
Well, it absolutely was. And he woke up one day and was shocked because it wasn't just war locally. it was war all over the world going on.
And all of a sudden it just erupted. Yeah, this is all planned, I believe. That's just my conspiratorial tinfoil hat attitude. Okay, then he's got an update here. More and more signs that Ukraine President Porky, that's what I call him, Poroshenko, will launch an offensive against Donbass in order to cancel elections and remain in power. Hundreds of tanks and armored vehicles amassed near the front line. Russia previously has made it explicitly clear that if Ukraine launches a military offensive against Russian-speaking populations of Donetsk and the two breakaway provinces in eastern Ukraine, Russia will be compelled to intervene militarily. Now, as I understand it, the latest is they are bringing in more and more troops and forces. Is that correct? Both sides.
Yeah.
Israeli News Live, has it vetted any of this or verified any of it?
Well, they say that they have to a certain degree. Of course, if you got to remember, Stuart, part of the scenario at the beginning of this incident was that they would go to martial law in parts of the country. So you got to remember, under martial law in the Ukraine, and the reason you're not hearing any news out of it particularly is the fact that journalists are not allowed. Not video, not audio, no cameras, nothing, and it's not allowed in that region because of martial law. So you have no journalist operating or getting information hardly out of that region. It's almost like a blackout. And, Well, I was just going to say, we do remember, however, the first conspiratorial report that they were going to blow that Kerch Strait Bridge, and the Russians knew about it and stopped them. And now the reports, and you've probably read the data, Stuart, that, that there is a U.K. NATO ship there at port in Odessa, I believe, and a U.S. ship close. And they're supposed to oversee possibly another confrontation at that Kerch Strait Bridge.
So, in other words, what they're doing is provoking a war. Hopefully it'll go into World War III because that's what the forces want. Now, I did read something about they're thinking possibly this will start within the next couple of days. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you read down into Hal Turner's data, and I can't vet it, but he was claiming that supposedly a move was supposedly going to begin December the 24th or 25th. That's Christmas. And if it didn't happen then about a week or so later, possibly January the 7th or the 8th, there would be another try. If you remember, Stuart, it appears that the Ukrainians already provoked once, one incident, and now they've tried to provoke another one. They invaded that Donbass area and used artillery on it, and that didn't provoke the Russians. So now they're planning another naval approach, and the desire is to sink some Russian ships. They're going to use some missiles they've got. So you see how this is, there's a continual provocation going on here. And one thing that I believe that the Israeli News Live said was the fact they got some data, I believe, that possibly Poroshenko was being guided by from sources in the U.S., which possibly are deep state and CIA.
Now, let's tie this back into the withdrawal of our troops. I know it's a different area, but there's something going on that he's pulling all the troops back out of Syria. He's pulling troops out of Afghanistan, the excuse being, well, we've been in there for, 16, 17 years in Afghanistan and haven't accomplished anything except killing our own people. And same goes basically with Syria. Somebody gave Trump heads up, maybe Turkey, maybe Putin, get your people out of harm's way because something's going to start. Have you heard anything on the reason behind the removal of the troops and bringing them back home.
Well, I've heard a rumor. I'll tell you the rumor that I've heard if you want to hear it.
Yes.
Ben Danoon has got a number of sources over in Israel, and there are some reports that plan to actually take on Iran. And for that to happen, some of these troops have to be out of the way, out of harm's way, if you will. Now, that cannot be verified, of course, but it's something is up because Israel suddenly pulled their troops back from the Lebanon border, stopped all the searches for the those terror tunnels after they'd actually found four of them, and are now preparing across the country for something that may happen, and said they will defend Israel themselves. Now, you know, the plan all along, Stuart, was that U.S. and Israel and Saudi Arabia was going to take down Iran. So, you know, you can't really do that, Stuart, real well if you've got troops in the middle.
Yeah, makes you wonder, doesn't it, exactly why he's suddenly doing this. And I remember the Dmitry Dudeman vision of, I guess you could call it revolution, although I'm not sure that's the right term. But anyway, trouble. Let's say trouble and violence occurred in the middle of America. And Dmitry said they called all the troops home to take care of the violence that was going on here, which is sort of verified in Isaiah and Jeremiah, where it says violence in the land, ruler against ruler, which I figure probably is dividing up of America into regions, various regions, because something happens in Washington, probably Obama or some other communist comes into power, and the governors of the various states evidently have enough, and so they break up and are no longer part of the United States. So it's kind of interesting to find out, you know, where we are and what's really going on. And this thing in Crimea is really, really a powder keg. I want to get back into that. They have what they call a Montreux Convention, and it describes what types of ships can enter the Black Sea. The ships are classified by tonnage and whether they are civilian or military. Under no circumstances whatsoever could a vessel the size of an aircraft carrier transit the Bosphorus Strait into the Black Sea unless it is a vessel of a nation state that borders the Black Sea. So no U.S. carrier, and we've got a carrier going over there now. I guess it's already entered, hasn't it, the Mediterranean, as far as I know?
I think we've got one over there. You know, we're not getting much data right now out of that region.
Yeah. Anyway, it says no U.S. carriers are ever able to enter the Black Sea. That means air power for any conflict with Russia has to come from elsewhere. The convention would allow U.S. destroyers and guided missile cruisers entry. Vessels of that size have already entered the Black Sea for years, but if war comes, every single man or any type of those ships would be utterly wiped out. I don't think Russia is going to allow any of that. So then he goes on to say, if Europe begins supplying Ukraine in a war with Russia, then Europe itself becomes a target. It is estimated that both military and intelligence circles that the Russian army could be in Vienna, Austria within 8 hours and conquer Paris, France within about a week. I agree with that. I think if they did a blitzkrieg, they could they'd go all the way across Europe before anybody could stop them. Anyway, he says Russia has been building up military forces along the Ukraine-Russia mutual border. Ukraine President Poroshenko has said Russia has moved more than 80,000 troops, 1,400 artillery and multiple rocket launch systems, 900 tanks, 2,300 armored combat vehicles, and hundreds of aircraft to the area. So this is really a war, don't you think, between Russia and NATO? This is what they want, right? Or not?
It does look like that NATO, it's kind of a standoff between NATO and Russia. And the interesting thing is, Stuart, Ukraine is not a NATO country at all. And NATO standing behind it and giving it support is very, very, very telling.
Yeah. Says here, almost 90% of the adult voters in Crimea voted to join Russia after the U.S. and NATO fomented the overthrow of the former Ukraine president, Viktor Yanukovych. The Crimeans voted to join Russia. Ukraine refuses to recognize that vote. Europe and the U.S. refuse to recognize that vote. NATO, Europe, U.S. intend to forcibly retake Crimea and give it back to the Ukraine, and assist Ukraine in forcibly conquering that town, I can't even pronounce it, in Donetsk, so that ultimately the U.S. and NATO can put missile interceptors in Ukraine like we did in Poland and Romania. Well, Russia's not going to put up with that, do you think?
Well, I wouldn't think that they would, and Putin has already said that any nation or country that puts either NATO or American nukes or missiles in their country is a target for a nuking.
Yeah. Well, here's an interesting paragraph, and he's absolutely right, whoever wrote it. Maybe it's Turner or not. Finally, Russia points out that the reasons the U.S. and NATO would undertake such a first strike against Russia, actually, in Ukraine, is to steal Russia's vast natural resources. Here we are. Energy, oil, gas, gold, and such. They point to the fact that after, Europe, NATO, and U.S. fomented the forcible overthrow of Ukrainian president, one of the first things done was to put an American as president and CEO of Ukraine's National Oil and Gas Company. Who is that American? Former Vice President Joe Biden's son. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Well, this is what Zabrinsky said in his game plan. Zabrinsky, I think, I can't remember what his position was, but he's way up. He's a globalist. The game plan was that he wanted to surround Russia and then take her out. Well, Putin knows about that. It's really all about energy, I guess. What's this business of Russia assigning 3,000 servicemen to decontamination duty for the aftermath of a nuclear attack in Russia's south? What is that about?
Well, when we think about southern Russia, that's where Ukraine is also, in Crimea. And
yep.
They've sent 3,000-plus troops that do this denuclearization process to that region. And, there are reports, that I can't verify at all that there is a plan. Remember, there was going to be some type of chemical warfare or some
yes.
type of attack,
yep.
In that region. And so I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. But it sounds like to me, Stuart, a false, a provoking and a provoking and a provoking and maybe then a false flag.
Yeah. I mean, cool hand Putin might just decide to not be so cool after all. But there is something else going on. All U.S. aircraft carriers and their battle groups, with the exception of only two, are now back home. DeStennis is in the Persian Gulf, and Ronald Reagan is in home port in Japan. All the other carriers are at home. The Vincent, Lincoln, Bush, Truman, Roosevelt, Nimitz, Eisenhower, Ford, and Washington carriers and their groups are all at home port. The president is also bringing our troops home from Syria and Afghanistan. And it makes you wonder, what do you suppose he's up to? He's got everything out of there. Was he told to get everything out of there, do you think?
Well, one thing, you know, comes to mind is being in harm's way. You know, if you remember, Stuart, the Chinese and the Russians have developed those new hyper missiles that I think they go 7,500 miles an hour. It's incredibly fast, and they cannot really be downed or stopped. That would certainly take out all our ships if they used them.
Yeah, and I know, you know, he's said before, as we've mentioned, that World War III was coming and was inevitable, and Obama said World War III was coming and he could not stop it. So this is already the game plan of the super elite that, you know, Obama, Putin, and the rest of them are probably puppets, although maybe rogue puppets that don't always obey the rules. So it's going to get interesting, but he mentions a military tweet that came out for many. This is from the U.S. military. Christmas Day is a time to take a break and be with family. But many times throughout history, it has played a significant role in our nation's defense. U.S. Department of Defense is the one that put that out. The tweet came 1 minute after the government shutdown. So Turner makes an interesting question. Are they reminding us that Christmas Day involves significant military action in our history to prepare us for something similar a few days from now? Could the mass arrest that QAnon talks about for so long in social media be taking place this Christmas? Well, it depends on who they're going to arrest, I guess. So what's your take on this? Is that a kind of a, subtle warning, do you think?
Well, if you add this very strange anomaly, and it really is if you think about it, and I'd like your opinion, Stuart, they announced that with this shutdown that President Trump is not going to Mar-a-Lago for the holidays. He's staying at the White House and conducting business. And that is so out of character, Stuart. You know, we've already had almost 2 years of holidays, and he's always holidaying at Mar-a-Lago. And all of a sudden, he's staying at the White House. That tells me that he may be wanting to be there to be in control of whatever begins to happen. I'll tell you what, this holidays, if I was people, I would be very aware of circumstances around me. And really, I'll tell you what, I know most families don't have a alert level, but I would have my alert level a little bit higher than normal.
Yeah, and not be all that far away from home base. This thing, they may be planting a false flag, who knows? I mean, the elite would love to disrupt everybody's Christmas because they hate Jesus Christ, they hate Christmas, and they hate Christians. What better way to do it than, you know, kind of like what they did to Israel on the Yom Kippur War, et cetera, et cetera. You know, rub it in their face type of thing. And so it makes you wonder, yeah, why is he not going to Florida unless he wants to be in charge of some stuff that they know is coming? And maybe that's why he got rid of Mattis. It may all be tied together. And I don't know who this fellow is he's bringing in as Secretary of Defense. I'm not sure who it is. And what do you think? I mean, do you think there's a possibility that we get a false flag? I mean, I agree with you 100% that people really got to be aware, keep their radios on, or, you know, have communications. If all communications goes out, you better scurry for home anyway. Could be an EMP attack. Who knows? This is all going to be very, very coordinated The Bible says it comes right out of the blue. There's no warning whatever. And boom, there you are, and everybody's life on earth has changed, basically. What do you think?
Well, I think that people ought to just, you know, study the pattern that we've had from government for some time now, and the odds of you being warned of something coming quickly are almost zero. They're not going to tell you. What do you think, Stuart?
Yeah, absolutely. They've already made that a national, plan, that even if we are under a nuclear attack, they're not going to warn anybody. They've figured out that you would be better off not to know than if you did know and everybody tried to rush out of the cities, because it'd be a huge traffic jam, and a lot more people would actually die from the attack. Whereas if you were home or in your cities, which is basically where these attacks are going to come from. And remember what the Bible says, that their telemetry systems of the Russians are 100% accurate. They hit exactly where they were programmed to hit. And that's one of the things that's kind of interesting, because the Russians announced, I think it was last year, that they have a new telemetry system that is absolutely accurate. So, you know, you're watching biblical prophecy being fulfilled. We just can't tell people when it's coming. But I notice there's a Bible code here from Glazerson talking about maybe 2019 is the year of the temple. That was kind of interesting. And you got one from Barry Rothman. Can we get into that a little bit before we got about 4 minutes?
Okay. Yeah, the one Barry Rothman just did, December the 23rd, is called Secretary of Defense General Mattis Resigns. And the code appears to talk about, according to Barry Rothman, a rebellion in part on Mattis's against Trump. And anyway, here's the wordings on it. Number one, James Mattis. Number two, Quitter. Number three, Trump. Number four, Asher or Syria. Number five, Korea. Number six, President. Number seven, Barack or B. Obama. Number eight, for the military. Number nine, Netanyahu. And 10, Israel. And I really can't get into a lot of those. We don't have the time to even talk about it hardly. But what's interesting is James Mattis did turn in his resignation to quit. But Trump suddenly has now relieved him of duty, basically, immediately. You know, in other words, 1st of January, a new guy takes over, and he let him go 2 months early. So this code says, you know, I would have to assume, and it's just my part, Stuart, I would have to think that if Trump knows something we're going to have to be involved in militarily quickly, he don't need anybody that's going to rebel against him running the military.
Yep, absolutely. And it's interesting that Obama's in there, and so isn't North Korea. Remember the prophecy of North Korea hitting the United States, and nobody knew where it came from. Took them a while to figure out who did it. Fascinating stuff. And, yeah, on our next program, we'll get into that a little more, folks. Probably should have done an hour. But there's – anyway, we covered all the major news you absolutely need to have. But be alert, as Larry has warned repeatedly. Be really, really alert if you're on the road. And this thing can come down any time. And they did have evidently some insider information that they might start this on the 24th or the 25th. And it would be typical of the Illuminati. They hate Christians, so they might do it. Or they'll carry it into next year. Who knows? Anyway, it's something you got to be alert. Thanks a lot, Larry, for coming on. And we'll try and get something put together here. I know it's the holidays and most people are busy. And anyway, we appreciate those who did tune in. We know you're very, very busy. Have a Merry Christmas and have a Happy New Year if we get through all this. And hopefully the Lord will put things off for a little while. It's in his hands, not in the elite. Anyway, thanks a lot, Larry, for coming on again. And everybody listening, take care. Heads up, and be alert. Anyway, good night.